The sermon for the first Sunday in Lent is from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. The sermon is entitled, Steadfast in Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Indeed, Genesis 22 clearly shows us the great steadfastness of Abraham and his faith. His son, whom he dearly loved, the very son that he and his wife Sarah had waited for many and many years. Yet even so, the Lord commanded, and Abraham followed, and there he ventured to Mount Moriah, preparing the sacrifice in his own son, Isaac. Now, in great steadfastness, Abraham followed the word. That even though his eyes saw one thing, well, his faith saw another, and that was being steadfast in the word. And very well, the word had promised him that through Isaac there would be the plentiful offspring. And even as it reads in the book of Hebrews, what a great text this is, that God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead. This is what Abraham was considering as he was steadfast in the word, that even if Isaac had died, there he would be raised. Dwell upon that reality. But yet before, with the knife and with the offering there, the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham. And soon thereafter appeared a ram caught in the thickets. And the Lord would provide this very sacrifice. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. And immediately after Jesus was baptized, the Spirit drove him out in the wilderness, where there for 40 days, as he fasted, of course, hungry and tired and weary. If that wasn't a trouble in itself, there he faced the onslaught, the temptation by the evil foe himself. A great period of steadfastness, for this was where Jesus was, being tempted left and right. You know, 40 is an interesting number, isn't it? A number that we see throughout the Bible. You know, we remember Noah's flood, 40 days and 40 nights, or Elijah as he fled to Mount Horeb, 40 days and 40 nights, Moses on Mount Sinai, again, 40 days, and even in the Exodus, you know, you caught there in our collect of the day, our prayer of the day, of the wilderness wanderings, 40 years. A great test this was for the Israelites. And though the Lord had rescued them from the wicked hand of Pharaoh, though the Lord's Passover gave them the kickstart to freedom, to the land of milk and honey to which the Lord had promised them, through the Red Sea and through the water and the rock, through the manna from heaven, through and through and through, our Lord continued to provide. Yet when it came to the time of testings, what did the Israelites do? They grumbled. They fell into disbelief. They complained and even rebelled. Remember the 40 days the spies went to the land of Canaan to survey the land to which the Lord had promised them. They came back with this daunting report. Yes, they're giants and they'll squish us like grasshoppers. We have no chance. And what did the people do? They cried out. You brought us out here to die. We're defeated. These giants are too big for us. We are going to die. And there they would rebel and revolt. A test this was for the Israelites. And we see their true colors in the midst of this trial. We see where their steadfastness was rooted. And it was not rooted in the word. No, it was rooted in their bellies. Right? In their fallen human reason, in their fickle flesh, ultimately in their own sin. Blessed is the man who remain steadfast under trial. Today in our gospel reading, Jesus is steadfast. In every temptation upon him, the devil was throwing in every which way. He was in the elements, depleted. Yet how did he respond? He responded with the steadfastness in the Word. For he very well knew, just as we sang in our sermon hymn, that one word can subdue him. That is the evil foe. Every attack he threw, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become like loaves of bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And as the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world, he said, all these I will give to you if you bow down and worship me. But in every attack, Jesus responded with the word, it is written. Unwavering and steadfast Jesus is. However, unfortunately, how wavering our first parents were in the garden, where again the devil attacked in the same way by the word. Did God really say? The ounce of doubt that caused Adam and Eve to turn from God and his word, which in turn brought sin into the world, which in turn brought death and the separation from God. See, we learn from the Bible, well, how the devil attacks us. And the number one way is turning you from the Word. The devil knows your steadfastness, your eternal steadfastness is the enduring Word of God. He knows this is everything. And because he knows this is the all-powerful Word, what does the devil do? He tries in every which way to turn you from this very word. Do you see this in your life? Now, we see it even in Christianity today. What is infiltrating our churches? It's false teaching. That is one way, and the great way in which people are turning from the word. And even more subtly, how we turn from the word is what? Apathy. Indifference. And for all of us, I think we're guilty of this. The idolatry of our time. I want my time, right? My time is precious, and my time is my time, and that is separate from the word. The idolatry of busyness. Are you busy in your life this day? So busy that you, well, yeah, turn from the word. Soon your steadfastness becomes your busyness. I think we are all guilty of that, aren't we? Again, anything that will turn us from the word. I think that's a question we must always ask ourselves, because that is the spiritual battle that each and every one of us faces. So the question today for you is, what is your steadfastness? Where do you flee? To whom do you cling? Now, of course, we know the right answer. After all, we are in church. You definitely know the right answer. Yet we very well know our sin. You know, friends, the word is absolutely everything in your life. It's not just a compartment or a subset of your life. No, the word is everything, the totality of your being. The entirety of your life is the word. And once we depart from that reality, there we turn. Because we know our sin. We know how fallen we are. You know, the devil, His constant attack is to take you away from the Word. You might chalk it up as, oh, you know, I missed the Word today, or with our excuses or justifications or our busyness, and my Sundays are just too full, or even Bible study, you know, the middle of the week, isn't Sunday enough? You know, do I need to hear the Word again? Do I need to study the Word again? I just have too much to do. But when we look in the mirror, we know the spiritual battle that is at hand. And as Sheldon always says, this is not in my sermon, by the way, just off the cuff. As Sheldon always says, we need to be connected there in our midweek Bible study. Because we know that not even a second goes by where the devil never ceases to relent from tearing us away from the Word. And it is that Word that redirects us back. As we study the Word of God together, as brothers and sisters in Christ at Faith Lutheran Church in Moore Park, California. Because this Word is Jesus. That's what we teach. It really is. Every chapter, every book of the Holy Bible is about what Jesus has done for you. And that's what we need to hear. Now the question for you today is, what is tearing you away from the Word? And be honest with this very question, because I think each and every one of us can make concessions and say, well, the Word can wait, or there's something more important in my life. And we all have that, honestly, as sinners. So the question is, what is that very thing that is turning you from the Word? Is it the earthly mammon? What is it? Because the temptation is all too real. You know, the book of James shows us the danger of sin. It is so sober, sobering to hear these very words. He says this, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. I mean, when we have our own desires, do we see them as luring? Do we see them as enticing us to something that is dark? No, in the midst of that sin, we say, oh, that's good. That'll give me what I want according to my flesh. But here James continues, then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do you really see the implications of what sin brings to the table? Of course, we take this moment to repent, because we indeed confess our every sin. Every trust that is not of God alone, every time we are fickle and wavering in this world, being washed to and fro by our fleshly desires. And you know what I'm speaking of. So easily swayed we are, that steadfast in the Word we are not. And thus we repent. You know, Jesus in the wilderness, 40 days, there he was, steadfast in the Word. But why? It wasn't just for those 40 days, but for the totality of his life of ministry. As the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, it served as a sneak preview of what was to come in his steadfastness at the cross. The Lord never wavered. There in the 40 days, he was tired, he was hungry. There at Gethsemane, he was agonizing of what was to come soon at his crucifixion. But he never wavered from the will of the Father. Thy will be done. This is the steadfastness of Christ for you. That Jesus proved victor over the temptation of the devil that day. Of course, this is Jesus. It's his mode of operation. Jesus, this is how he operates. He is without sin. He is holy. He is perfect. He is blameless. He never changes. His Word is what it is. Even being betrayed in the hands of men, his Word is what it is. And though his disciples were panicking, and though the rooster would crow, and we very well know why the rooster crowed, right? Jesus never wavered. Because when the hour had come, there the anchor was and is. Our Lord, who does not shrink or who does not turn in the midst of all the world that was against him, there he was steadfast for each and every one of you. The pain and the suffering of the cross, in the midst of the most excruciating thing that no one in this world could ever imagine, there Jesus was as a Lamb of God to be your redemption, to pay the price that we cannot pay. The Lamb of God. You know, just as the Lord provided for Abraham, the ram that was caught in the thickets. Again, this was a sneak preview of what was to come. As our Lord Christ was caught upon the cross for you, all for the forgiveness of your sins. Your steadfastness is Christ. When you hear steadfastness, it's not what you do. It's not, I have to keep myself afloat. I have to do this and that. No, your steadfastness is the one who is steadfast for you, because we, like sheep, have gone astray, everyone to our own way. But just as the Lord provided on Mount Moriah, he provides for you in the Lamb of God, who laid his life down, the deathly sacrifice. Steadfast Jesus is, overcoming and defeating the grave, all shown to us in his empty tomb. The world will say otherwise, my friends. Stay steadfast in the earthly securities. Stay steadfast in the temporal comforts. Stay steadfast in me, myself, and I. But that is the preciousness and beauty of the word. That your steadfastness is not within you, but it is in the one outside of yourselves. It's Jesus, and only Christ. No, only Christ is not simply a catchphrase. No, only Christ is truly only Christ. This is your steadfastness. From the word to the sacraments, this is your anchor. It is the word. It is Jesus. His steadfastness for you. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sunday sermon from Faith Lutheran Church in Moore Park, California. For more information, visit us on the web at faithmoorpark.com.